Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 11. Actually, it's the only word. We'll read verse 11 and verse 12. So this is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Let's do it. If you're physically able, would you mind standing with me? We'll show our public respect for the Scriptures. We'll read these two verses, and then you can be seated, all right? Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says, "And he," that is Jesus gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Let me read the verses one more time. "And Jesus gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Thanks for standing. You may be seated. Let me pray and ask the Lord to help me, and then we'll look together at the Scriptures. Father, I love you. Thank you for letting us come together this morning and to look at what your Word says. And Father, as we look at this practical truth from your Word, I pray that it would impact our lives, not only this morning, but just helping us to have the right mindset for this week. And that's something, Father, that I want to convey what your Word says. But in order for people to be able at the end of this time to think correctly about why we've gathered together and what the purpose is for our coming together, in order for that to happen, that is the work of your Spirit, of you. And so I come humbly this morning asking you please to do what I cannot. Now help me to be faithful to what your Word says. Help me to be clear and succinct. Help me to be as interesting as is possible for me, and help everybody to listen. I do pray, especially for those who have a lot of other things that are crowding their minds and hearts and lives right now. I pray that you'd help them to be able to focus in over the next little bit. Help us to have the character to tune out from the things that are going on around us and to key in on that which we need to see and learn. I love you, Lord. Thank you for letting us again meet together. In Jesus' name, amen. Whenever you read the Scriptures, it's important to understand the context or the surroundings of what is being said in order to have a true understanding of what is being taught. You can take verses, sometimes you'll hear Bible teachers say, you can take verses out of context. That is, you can make the Bible say almost anything you want it to say if you don't look at what is surrounding and understanding the context of what is being said or who is being addressed or why it's being said or the intended impact. And it's important to be true to Scripture. Let me show you in a practical way. If I were to say, "I saw Pastor smack his wife," would that surprise you? Say yes. Please say yes. If I said, "I saw a pastor smack his wife," you go, "Oh, no, really?" Now, if it was the other way around, we might believe it, but to see pastor, okay, obviously, that's not something you'd expect. But if I said the same thing, but if I said, "I saw pastor mwah, smack his wife," now that's a little bit more believable, I hope, than "I saw pastor smack his wife." Same words. Context is everything. If you just heard the phrase and didn't understand the context in which it was given, then your understanding of who pastor is, his character, or how he treats his wife would be skewed from what is really true, right? Okay, so context is important. Same thing is true when we look at Ephesians 4. Now, in the verses that we just read that Jesus gave, talking about to the church, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting saints, work of ministry, edifying of the body of Christ, all of this is within the context of what God did for the local church. And specifically, it is mentioned in relation to what Paul had already been teaching them in the first part of Ephesians. Okay, now I'm recognizing the looks that I'm getting right now, which means I just lost you. So stick with me. I know it's early. It's Sunday morning, but this is important leading into what we need to hear. So stay with me here, all right? In the first part of the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is explaining to the believers, the Christians at Ephesus, that's the city where this church was, saying in essence to them, okay, hey guys, listen, don't let people come in and drag you back into thinking that you need to follow all of the rites of the law. When I say the law, think the law of sacrifices or circumcision or all of the things that surrounded the Jewish nation back in the Old Testament, because there were teachers that were following Paul and his and other preachers around who were coming in after they would leave and saying, hey, Paul told you this about Jesus and that's important and that's good, but let me tell you, in order to be really a Christian, in order to really be a follower of Jehovah God, you need to also do what God mentioned to the people of Israel in the Old Testament, the circumcision, following the law, giving the sacrifices, all of these things. Make sure you're doing all of these things too if you really, really, really want to follow God Jehovah. And the Apostle Paul is writing to these guys saying, look, 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 don't let them come in and pull you away from the gospel or the good news of what I gave you when I came. That is, namely, that Jesus Christ is enough. Jesus Christ is all that is necessary for you to have eternal life. Christ completed the law. Not to say that the Old Testament means nothing to us, not to say that the Old Testament doesn't have any bearing on our life or that the law should not have impact on our life, but the fact is that Christ completed everything that was necessary, and the Apostle Paul is speaking to them about the importance of following Christ. And then he kind of takes a little detour, as preachers oftentimes do, and he says, by the way, there's no difference in God's eyes between a natural-born Jew and a Gentile who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as you're standing before God. That is, Jews who trust Christ and Gentiles, those who are not Jews, who trust Christ, are both children of God through faith. And he's explaining to them about the unity that has happened in New Testament in the church because of what Christ has done. And he continues to encourage them, make sure you stay unified based upon the fact that Jesus Christ is the head, that Jesus Christ is the one who you're dependent on. He is everything you need. He is all that you need. And he says it over and over again. And then he comes to Ephesians chapter 4 where he says, and in order to help you with this, in order to help you to stay unified, in order for you to stay focused on what it is that you're supposed to stay focused on, namely Jesus Christ, he says, Christ sent apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, and then he gives the reasons where he says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So then that brings me to the question that we're going to look at here in Sunday school, and I never title messages, but if I were going to title the message this morning, this is what it'd be in Sunday school. Why am I here and what am I doing? Me. What am I doing here? Why am I here? Well, you say because pastor invited you. Well, that may be true, but why? In verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now, you probably know this already, but we believe from the scriptures that the prophets that are spoken of here are the prophets that would have been the ones who God gave special revelation to, namely in the Old Testament, though some in the New Testament as well, where he told them things that were coming ahead of time, and we believe that that gift is completed in the scriptures. Same with the apostles. The apostles were those who had known and seen Jesus Christ and were sent out specifically by Christ himself to go and deliver these messages and start churches and do things of that nature. The apostles would have been the disciples plus the Apostle Paul. And those also were completed when the scriptures were completed. Then there were no more technically apostles, though sometimes people use the word apostle in a generic term, a sent one, which is legitimate. It doesn't bother me at all. But when we're talking about the Bible apostles, we're talking about someone sent out specifically by Christ. And then the Bible talks about evangelists, which we still have, and pastors and teachers. Some people combine the gifts because of the language here, pastor, teacher, and some people separate it. Again, it doesn't bother me either way. I think you can argue it either way from other scriptures as well. But the evangelist is sent, and then it talks about the reason why, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, as an evangelist, the question for me is then, why am I here? What am I doing? Why would we come together like we are this week? Why are we gathering together this morning? And why am I the one doing the speaking instead of pastor or whoever normally teaches your class? Why are the teenagers sticking around in here? Why are we having services tomorrow night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night? Why? And why have somebody that's different than your pastor come in and do it? What is an evangelist and why is it important for this morning and why is it important for this week? Well, I wrote down a definition for an evangelist just so you know what an evangelist is. And this, I'm going to tell you why it matters in a little bit, so stick with me. This is the teaching part of Sunday school, so don't zone out on me, all right? An evangelist is an extremely good-looking person who travels around the world telling sad stories and taking up a week of people's time in order to try to motivate said people into giving him a large offering to take and put in his way cool truck's diesel tank. You know, in spite of ourselves, sometimes... minus the extremely good-looking person. Sometimes that's kind of the idea of what we think. Well, this is just what we do. We have evangelists in because, bless their hearts, they need to preach somewhere. And hey, pastor's a nice guy. He'll have a preacher. He'll have an evangelist. And pastor already told me this morning the reason why we're here is so we could sing. The preaching doesn't matter. So I said, it's good because I know what you're going to hear, and it's not worth hearing from me. No, I'm teasing. So what is an evangelist? Well, it's interesting. In the verse, this is important, Ephesians 4:11, the evangelist and the pastor and teacher are both mentioned in the same verse. And then the reason for those gifts that are given to the church are given in verse number 12, for you, verse number 12, where the Bible says that the evangelist is given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So what is an evangelist? Why come in? Some say, well, is an evangelist a missionary? Or is he a church planter? Or is he a revival preacher? What is an evangelist? This is kind of as an aside, but just for what it's worth. An evangelist could be any one of those things. Just like for a pastor is called by God and gifted by God to do a special work. Most often, a pastor does his work that he's been called to and gifted for by shepherding, by helping a group of people in a church to come closer and closer to God. Now, sometimes pastors will have other ministries that they're a part of. A pastor and evangelist are a calling and gifting set given by God for a purpose that can be used in different ways. For instance, some people today will argue, well, there's no such thing as an evangelist. An evangelist of today is actually a missionary, or an evangelist of today is actually a church planter. That's what they ought to be doing. Okay, look, a missionary or church planter is not something that is given as a designation by God as a specific gifting. Stick with me. An evangelist may be a church planter. An evangelist may be a missionary. A missionary is someone who, in our common thinking, is someone who raises money to go somewhere else and do the work of the ministry. So that it may be that he's an evangelist and he goes over to another nation, he raises money, you send him somewhere so that he can preach the gospel in another nation. Or it could be that he's a pastor. That's what his gifting set is. And he goes across seas after getting money to go and pastor people across seas. But the point is, a pastor and evangelist are both specific groups or a specific gifting set that God has given for a purpose. Now, the purpose for a pastor teacher and for an evangelist is the same. The word evangelist literally means a heralder of the truth. It's talking specifically of the good news. So that as an evangelist, what God has given to me, what the responsibility God has laid on me is to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm supposed to tell you about who Christ is and to show from the scriptures who he is and what he has done and the fact that what he has done is enough to pay for your sins. That's the emphasis of ministry. Well, you say, but Brother Tim, don't evangelists preach oftentimes on things besides the gospel? Yes. But in an evangelist's heart and focus is always going to be the gospel. So that, pardon me, I was sucking on a cough drop and it just came out of place. It's not supposed to do that. This is pleasant. I know. I apologize. Mental note to self, write down that I don't do that again, all right? So an evangelist, while he may preach on other things, his focus is the gospel. So a week like this, it's a revival meeting. Or more accurately, a meeting where we seek God for revival, for renewing, for renovating our hearts, changing our minds, where we come alive to that which is eternal, where we come alive to that which God desires, where the hearts of those who have grown cold and stale towards their relationship with the Lord have a renewed interest in God again, where you and I can get away from the world enough and look at God's word in such a way so that it helps focus our heart and minds on that which is eternal, so that we will then begin to do the things that are for eternity. Namely, in my mind, reaching the souls of men. Amen. Telling other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It may include some of you beginning to give to missions, because that's about the gospel. It may include some of you getting sin out of your life, because that's about the gospel. Because you can't be the witness you ought to be when you're harboring sin. For some of you, it may involve family life. Things that are going on at home that aren't right or that aren't best or that aren't allowing you to accurately represent what God wants for you. For some of you, it's going to be just encouragement. For some, it's going to include confrontation. But whatever the case may be, whatever the need is in your life, a revival meeting preached by an evangelist is all about the gospel. Now, a pastor is about the same thing, but the gift set is a little bit different about how we go about it. See, pastor has to look at your faces next week. And so he knows that he has all kinds of time. I mean, he's 35 years of age. He's got nothing but time ahead of him. And so he may spend more time, whereas what God has called us to in this revival work means a little bit less time. Now, some people take longer, have longer revival meetings, some people shorter. But the point is, all of it is pointed towards what Ephesians 4:12 is talking about, God gifting pastor and myself for this purpose. All right, so what does Ephesians 4:12 teach us about what the purpose of this meeting is about? See, the deal is it's important for us, you and I, to be aware of why we're meeting together. Stick with me. Or else, our meeting together will be less than effective. Let's say that you have friends that are concerned about your health, physical health. And they're so concerned that they hire a health expert to come to your home and to explain to you about how you can be healthier than you currently are, because they see a trend in your life that's not good, and they think you could end up with some serious issues later on. They love you, they're concerned about you, so they go out and they spend all kinds of money and they hire this health expert and they bring them to your house to explain things to you. Okay, listen. If that health expert is going to be of any benefit to you, if the knowledge that he has is going to help you, then you would need to understand the reason why he's or she is there. If they come in and your thinking is they're here in order to clean my house, and then they come in and start giving you all kinds of advice and telling you to take this macaroni and cheese box and throw it out the window, and you eat this kind of food and this kind of food and this kind of food, and here's the kind of exercises, you're going to be sitting there going, why in the world are you telling me what to do? You're here to clean my house. Understanding why someone is there, why someone has come, is absolutely necessary if the intended impact is going to apply, is going to be applied in your life. Does that make sense? Okay, stop for a second. Time out. Back up. Just so that we're clear. This is not Brother Tim coming in and saying, hey, I'm the expert. I know everything there is to know about this revival thing and everything there is to know about how you're supposed to live. This is not, please, if you come out of Sunday school thinking that, then you've missed it and you've missed my heart about it completely. Now, it is true. It would be silly. It would be, are there any kids? S-T-U-P-I-D. It would be S-T-U-P-I-D for me, I mean that in the truest sense of the word, without knowledge. For me to come in without realizing that God has called me to this and given me this purpose. In other words, it'd be silly to come in and for me to say, well, I don't know anything about this either, but maybe, just maybe, we'll come up with something this week. Well, friend, if you had a health professional come in and say that to you, you'd say, well, you go study and then come back and tell me about it, huh? And that's kind of the idea. Now, the great thing is, here's what I love, and what God has called me to do as an evangelist is that he has given us the instruction manual for everything that we need. And so it's my responsibility then as a preacher, as an evangelist specifically, in helping you as a gift to the church to be able to explain to you what God has to say. Now, for what purpose? That's what we're going to spend the next, looks like we have 10 minutes. So let's look at it quickly. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 12. The Bible says that he gave the evangelists and the pastor and teacher and the apostles and prophets, verse 12, for the purpose, here's the purpose, for the perfecting of the saints. Okay, time out. Perfecting the saints means literally the equipping, perfecting. That is, giving you everything you need. Perfect doesn't mean that you never do anything wrong. Perfect means that you're complete, that you're going into battle prepared, that you're going to the job site with all the tools that you need. You're perfected. You have it all. You have the skill. You have the tools. For the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry. Hey, it's Sunday school. Let's parlay here a little bit. What do you think would be the work of the ministry? What would be the work of the ministry? Sharing the gospel. Sure. What else? How else would the work of the ministry, how could it be played out? Okay. Unity is certainly a part of the work of the ministry, unified around Jesus Christ. How about caring for people, yep. Loving other people? How about giving to those who have need? How about sharing what we have so that other people can do the sharing of the message? All of these things are a part of the work of the ministry. And then, practically speaking, on top of that, you have walls that need to be painted and lights that need to be paid for and carpet that needs to be vacuumed and grass that needs to be cut. And just all of it is part of the work of the ministry, all focused in on, pardon me, from my perspective, from the scriptures, I'm sharing the gospel. So this is what the work of the ministry is all about. So we have for the perfecting of the saints, the equipping, and for the work of the ministry. And then the Bible says, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, any English people out here, can you give me a definition of what edify means? Any ideas? Yeah. Lift up or build up. So we're talking about being built up in the faith, built up, strengthened, like what Colossians 2 talks about. How that when we follow the word of God, we take the things that we're given and they're added to us and we're built up in the faith, strengthened, so built up in the faith. And then when it talks about edifying, it means being built up in number. That is, that people are being added to so that the church, the ministry, is built up so that you increase in your faith and that other people can increase and begin their faith. All right, so you have the equipping of the saints, you have the work of the ministry, reaching out, loving people, taking care of what needs to be taken care of, the work of the ministry, and the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, here's the crux, and here's the reason why we're looking at this. So if your brain has been going off and you have the glazed look, this is the time to come back, all right? There are two ways that you can interpret what is said here in verse number 12. The perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, edifying of the body of Christ. There's two ways that people look at it. One is that the pastor teacher, that the evangelist is given as a gift in order to, number one, perfect the saints. That's you that have trusted Christ, to equip you. Number two, the pastor teacher and the evangelist are supposed to do the work of the ministry, to help take care and care for people and love people and all those things that a good minister of Christ ought to do. They're to do the work of the ministry. And the gift was given so that the church can be edified, built up. And that's one way that it's oftentimes looked at. Let me tell you what I believe the Bible's actually teaching here. This is where we get our focus for the week. Don't miss this. Woo, 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 woo. Up here. All right, here we go. In verse number 12 of Ephesians 4, the Bible says that the gifts of pastor, teacher, and evangelist were given for the equipping or perfecting of the saints. And listen to me. So that the saints can do the work of the ministry. And as a result, the church will be edified. It's the difference between addition and multiplication. The addition is, if pastor or myself are responsible for doing all three of these things, there's only so much impact it can have. But what God is teaching us here is that my responsibility this week is to equip you, to give you what you need, to show you what the Bible has to say, what God wants for you as a teenager, as an adult, regardless of age, regardless of intellect, regardless of social standing or financial ability. That you see who you are in Christ, that you are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you are then equipped so that you can do the work of the ministry, so you can care, so you can reach, so you can love, so you can give, so you can help, so you can invest, so you can work. So that as a result then, the body of Christ is going to be edified. You're going to be built up in your faith, and this church will, as a result of this week, be built up. That is what this week is about. Now, having said that, that leads us then to the effectiveness of this week is dependent upon your being equipped to do the work of the ministry. And practically speaking, the only way that you're going to be able to be equipped is if you're here to be a part of it. So forgive the very practical at this early stage in the revival meeting, but if you don't make the determination for yourself that you're going to come in order to be equipped, I don't mean this meanly, but ain't nothing I can do for you. Not that I could do it anyway. It's God, but even God himself can't transport what I'm saying into your mind if you're not here. So hey, let me just mention again, teenagers, adults, hey, come to every service you can. Come tonight. I don't know if you normally come on Sunday night, but come tonight. Come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if at all possible. Now, I know that there are some people who your responsibilities keep you from being able to come. I understand that. Do everything you can. What I'm saying is don't plan a headache for Tuesday night. Just plan on coming if you can. If there are things that normally are part of your life in the evenings that you can set aside in order to come, we say, Brother Tim, you must be pretty arrogant to think that what you have to say is so valuable that I ought to give up my schedule in order to come. That's not what this is about at all. This is about a God who has an intended purpose for you that is better for you than anything you could ever dream up for yourself. Something that's eternal, something that'll last longer than what you put in your pockets or fill your belly with. Something that will impact eternity. And God can, and God will use you. And don't think to yourself, well, other people, yes, but not me. No, you. God can, and God will use you. But I have stuff in my life. Well, that's a good reason to come. Well, I don't know how. That's equipping. Come on. The idea is just come. Just come, and come with a heart that's ready to receive. In other words, don't come with fists clenched. Come with the heart ready to receive, and an expectancy that God will do that which He intended to do. All right, one last thing. We're finished. Have you ever heard the verse that the word of God will accomplish that which it was sent forth to do? That God's word will not return void? Have you heard that before? Okay. Sometimes that is used, I think, in an inappropriate way to say something it's not intended to. The intended target of that verse is this. Hey, if God says something is going to happen, it's going to happen. When God says something will take place, his word will not return void. In other words, he won't say, let there be light, and light doesn't come. What he says is going to happen will happen. His will, his intended target, will take place the way that he's sovereign. He's all powerful. All right, let me tell you his will for you. That you, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, will be equipped so that you can do the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ can be edified. And that can happen. It can, because God's word will not return void. If you come with a heart ready to receive, God will give you what you need. So come and be a part, all right? I magnify my office a little bit. That is, I'm thankful for what God has called me to do. I'm thankful for your pastor. We have the same purpose, the same job. This is what God has given for us. Let's look to God to do what only he can do in our lives this week.